Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Today, I'm going to look at one of my favourite passages in Romans chapter 15, if you've got a Bible. Don't know whether you've ever studied Romans, you know, whether you've ever got a commentary or got some teaching, and if you haven't, do. If you haven't been a Christian any time, you know, just after a while, you know, it's great to spend time in the Gospels. And I always say when somebody becomes a Christian, read through the Gospels four times and then read through the book of Acts. But after a while, you want to get into the deep things of God. You want some meat, you want some doctrine, you want to know what is this gospel that has changed my life and what is it I believe in. And there's no better place to go than the greatest book of theology ever written in the history of the world, the book of Romans in the Bible. First 11 chapters are explanation. Paul, leaving everything about his rules and religion, based Pharisaism, you know, leaving all that behind and being blown away by this wild and wacky gospel of free grace, this gospel of we don't get what we deserve. And if you haven't read Romans chapters 1 to 11, not just read it, you know, spent time in it, meditate on it, read commentaries about it, just get into it because it's amazing. It is amazing grace that Paul's blown away by. And I deserve hell. I'm going to heaven. I deserve judgment. I've been justified. I'm in massive debt to God. God hasn't just paid off my debt. He's credited me with the goodness of his own son. Is anybody glad about that on a Tuesday morning? You know, when he looks at me, he doesn't see what I used to be. He sees Jesus. And I'm going to be welcomed into heaven on the basis of what Christ did. None of my good works are enough to get me to heaven, but Jesus is enough. And there's a great big done over my life. It's been done. The price has been paid. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to preach on a Friday morning, on a Tuesday morning, or I don't have to go out leading a ministry. Or I don't have to tithe. I don't have to do anything. I do those things just because I love him, because he's amazing. And I want to live right because of all he's done, because I've got some kind of revelation. And I've started to understand the gospel that Paul explains so brilliantly, so amazingly in Romans 1 to 11. First 11 chapters are explanation. Chapters 12 to 15 are exhortation. And you've heard me say before, Romans 12, as there's a shift, a hinge in the book of Romans, moves from the explanation to therefore, in light of what you've just heard, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that you've heard about the gospel of free grace, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Surrender all. I surrender all to you, Jesus. Just because you're worthy, because you're wonderful, because you've saved me, because you deserve it. That's my spiritual act of worship. Spiritual act of worship isn't singing songs with the hands in the air with great worship teams. The act of worship that's good and pleasing, that's acceptable to God, is just, here's my life. You know, I'm on the altar. Whatever, you use me as you see fit, God. That's, I'm prepared to be the message. Then halfway through chapter 15, as the book comes to an end, Paul starts to come into land. Like most good preachers, he takes a while to wrap up. He says like a finally, and then goes on for about half an hour. Any, have spotted any preachers doing that before? Andy Hawthorne ever done that to you before? But so halfway through chapter 15 of Romans, he brings it into land and he says these beautiful words. Romans chapter 15, verses 15 to 22. Maybe if we could have them up there. I didn't tell you that before. Let's go, yeah, they're from there. I've written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it's written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. Paul says, I've written to you boldly, not half. I mean, it is radical, bold stuff. And we need to be a people who, more than ever, if we're going to see what we want to see, we're going to see what we're believing for, who are confident and bold in the gospel. We need to be bold at such a time as this, confident in this gospel, unashamed. Yeah, we'll get some rebukes for that. We'll get some people who criticize us and are negative. But we need to be bold. We need to boldly proclaim the gospel of free grace, because it's our priestly duty. That's what Paul says. It's my priestly duty, and it is your priestly duty, because you're a priest in this new kingdom. You know, Paul knew a lot about priests, didn't he? Priests were the guys who had to present an acceptable sacrifice for the people's sins. Their role was to sacrifice animals, because in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But Paul had explained that once and for all, one man has died for all sins, and as a result, we all become priests. We all become we stand before God and man. We're bringing down God's blessing. We're allowed to share, and our priestly duty is to present an offering that's acceptable to God. Our priestly duty is to go into schools in tough neighborhoods where kids are knifing each other and dealing drugs and rescue one more. And our priestly duty is to say, there it is, God, a beautiful sacrifice to you, a sacrifice, another living sacrifice. Not some animal on the altar, but a young person in Withenshaw or Salford or wherever it is. And there they are. They were living a terrible life, cursing you. Now they're living a beautiful life, worshipping you. They were heading for a lost eternity. Now they're heading for the joy of the Lord. And it's like a sweet smell in your nostril. What a privilege. That's our priestly duty, to go out to the Gentiles and say, accept Jesus, accept this message, give your life, he'll change your heart, he'll save you for all eternity. It's all our priestly duty. It's the greatest privilege in the world. You like it? Yeah. You're glad you get to be part of that priestly duty alongside Paul and all the great saints of the past. We're the priests God is looking for now, who'll proclaim the gospel and present men and women as living sacrifice. It's the priestly duty of us all. It's what you signed up for the day you gave your life to Christ. Because the first thing God said to you was, come to me. Come to me if you're weary and heavy laden. Come to me if you're sick of your sin. Come to me if you're broken and lost and you're heading for lost eternity. Come, the great invitation. But of course, the second thing Jesus said to every man, woman, boy or girl was go, wasn't it? Go into all the world, go and make disciples, go and teach them about me, go and baptize them, and I'm with you by my Spirit, even to the end of the age. I'm with you as you embark upon this great adventure. You'll be filled with the Spirit so you can be my witnesses, Jesus said. As we go out performing our priestly duty, it is a beautiful thing to our God. It's a fitting response to all he did for us. And that's why, in my opinion, the message is so ace. Because we get these opportunities to hear month after month, another one, there's another one, there's another one, there's another one, there's hundreds on one night, there's some broken person, there's another one, we're presenting to you, God, an acceptable sacrifice. You did what was necessary. You hung on the cross, and for the joy set before you, you're willing to go through that so you could have these people, and your great joy is to welcome more in as a result of your great sacrifice. Hallelujah. I know I'm sounding a bit Pentecostal, but you're probably not getting excited as I am about this message. It's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful that we get to partner with God in this way. And Paul says that this amazing thing, he says, my priestly duty to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, proclaiming the gospel and a glory in God. And yet I won't even venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. I wonder how much we glory. That's the point in this ministry. How excited we are that we are allowed to be involved in that ministry. And I wonder how much we get that sense of, wow. Should be like a deafening silence and then a great shout of praise that we're allowed to do that. Come on. God's got good works planned with for us to do. God's got people for us to rescue. God's got partnership with him. It's amazing. We're a people of destiny, and our destiny is what? To accomplish much in Christ. And how do we do it? Well, listen, we do it by what we say and do, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit, in leading the Gentiles to obey God. We do it by what we say and do, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit. It's an absolute classic words, works, wonders verse. And, you know, the Message, as you know, started out primarily as a word ministry. We were preachers. We had a band that went into schools and did gigs and preached the gospel and tried to invite. What a wonderful thing, what a marvelous thing to do in this culture when so many people have just stopped preaching the gospel. As even churches that say, we don't get involved in the E word. You know, we don't get involved in evangelism now. We just serve the poor. No, you're never going to change society like that. You're never going to change society without preaching the gospel, without being unashamed, without being bold and confident in what we believe. But alongside that, you know, I think maybe 20 years ago, we woke up in a fresh way to the need to for deed, the need to serve and bless the poor. And we haven't preached the full gospel unless it's been words and deeds. And so it's words and deeds. And we woke up to a lot more. And, you know, Soul Survivor helped us with that. Around 2000, I think, just to think about caring for the poor and blessing and meeting people's real needs. And of course, Eden, once you go into these communities, you can't just preach the gospel. You've got to meet the real needs. What perhaps we haven't woken up to is, as much as we need to, is the power of signs and wonders. Because Paul's gospel was a full gospel. He said, I've fully proclaimed Christ through what I've said and done, and by the power of signs and miracles, except something is happening. Even in the last week, I've had a few cheeky little messages that have got me very excited. I don't know how many of you have been keeping in touch with Becky's dad. In India, Gary Smith's been in India the last 10 days or so. And he's seen some real amazing miracles. One really touched me, one message off Gary that I loved so much. Let's see if I can get this up. Yeah. So one of the things he's doing is visiting churches that we've been privileged to be able to build through our tithe fund and a Bible college that we've been investing in and various things that we've been supporting, ministries amongst the poor. And so he's been speaking at this Bible college, but this was the message that really got me. Hi, friends, just a quick but amazing update. I finished the diploma teaching this morning and then went 5 hours north on crazy Indian roads to Telangana. When I got to the church, this is after 5 hours on crazy Indian roads, when I got to the church, there were about 30 people there, which is not very impressive in a country of 1.3 billion. But, you know, when the white guy turns up, they normally flock from all around, but there's 30 people there, so Gary's a bit like, ugh. However, it was amazing. At the end, I prayed for an old lady whose hips were in agony. Within seconds, her face lit up and she was pain-free. The highlight, though, was praying for a young woman whose arm was completely paralyzed. As I prayed, she got some feeling in her fingers. We prayed again, and Jesus totally healed her. Praise God. That one thing was worth the whole trip. And I spoke to Gary yesterday, and he said he phoned Leslie, his wife, and said, honestly, if all I'd done in 10 days was that one trip to Telangana, I've had to sit in my, you know, scruffy Indian accommodation for 10 days and go to that one place and see Jesus bless that one lady, it would have been worth it. Because she was bawling her eyes out with joy. And here's a picture of her. With a freshly healed arm. Hallelujah. Isn't that precious? It's like full on, just, but there's something going on in India where there's such faith, there's such expectation, and something happens. Don't you want to see more signs and wonders? Anyway, so that was Wednesday. That wasn't like 2,000 years ago, Apostle Paul in Jerusalem. That was last Wednesday, our mate Gary in India. That's good, isn't it? How about this? Forget India. How about Manchester? Nick Shalavi sent me this. on, so part of our advance, you know, part of our advance is that we have a group. I love this message from Nick. I have to go back a long way because there's a lot going on. Crazy past week. Saw a guy's mangled hand that needed surgery get healed in prison, get fully restored, and see him freak out. This guy's a major influence in Manchester. He demanded I go to the wing and pray for everybody and go to healthcare and show his healing. He said in a frenzy after his healing, I think I'm going to be an effing disciple. I love that. Come on, Lord. That wasn't like Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. That was prison on Thursday night. More, Lord. Don't you want more? But I want more of that. But I want more of this, right? Yesterday, this is Nick carries on with his message because we all chip in our advanced group with testimonies. Yesterday, the sky engineer came to fix my box and I spoke to him, prayed with him and led him to the Lord. Come on! And just yesterday, I spoke at a youth conference in North Manchester. That was Saturday. Saw over 30 come forward to surrender their lives to Christ. Major move by a 9-year-old girl crying under the presence of God. Oh, it's the power of the gospel in word and deeds and signs and wonders. And we've got to see more of it, haven't we? You can't read this book without saying we need the gospel fully proclaimed, because that's what Paul said. He said, I've fully proclaimed the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. Illyricum was about 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. What a crazy thing to say. So that's like all the way down to north of Spain, from Manchester, all the way down to north of Spain. Millions of people. Paul says, I've fully proclaimed the gospel. How can you possibly have done that, Paul? You can't have done that. It's impossible that you, in a lifetime, a 1,000 miles, it's Turkey, it's Albania, it's all the Middle East. I've fully proclaimed the gospel. You know he's done it? By the power of multiplication. He's done it because he's trained people who've trained people who've gone out in word and deed through the power of signs and wonders, and the whole 1,000 square mile territory is talking about Jesus. And he can sense that the gospel's been fully proclaimed. And he often writes words like this in a prison cell. He's boxed in, but you can't box the gospel in. Do you get me? And you know I'm very excited at the moment about the potential for Proximity Network. Oh God, could we fully proclaim the gospel in all the bottom 10%, 4,000 communities across the UK in our lifetime? No, we can't. No chance, not a chance. You bunch of jokers in Charleston, you can't do that. Well, yes, we can, by the power of the Spirit, through word and deed, through signs and wonders, as we partner together, as multiplication starts to take place, as God opens doors, as he does the things that only he can do, whatever. Wouldn't it be amazing if as very old people, maybe I'll be in heaven cheering you on, but you know, like whatever it is, Sam's there. When he's bald, poor lad. He has got my genes. It's going to happen, Sam. And he's here. Yes, we fully proclaim the gospel in all 4,000 bottom neighbourhoods. Yes! By what we've said and done, by the power of signs and wonders. And I believe potentially through advance, we're going to be able to say that going forward. Whole territories, whole geographies. This week, we've taken on two guys in India on the back of Gary's visit. Day a week. We're paying them £10 a day, and that's a handsome salary out there. They're overjoyed to be paid £10 a day. And they're going to be our advance coordinators, and they're going to translate advance into all sorts of Indian languages. And they work in a territory of 91 million people. And I've not even met these young guys. And Gary's going to be coaching them in training and equipping the church for mission and sending them out to say and do and to demonstrate and share the good news and move in the power of signs and wonders. Who knows what could happen there? Maybe we'll be able to say, oh, we can't take the credit. And maybe those people probably in those little Indian villages won't know it all started by this scruffy bunch of people in Manchester, but be that fully proclaim the gospel and God just does that beautiful thing. Well, something has happened. I want to read you this and then I'd love us to pray particularly for advance. But something's happened in the last month maybe. The supernatural explosion. Paul saw it. when he invested in these guys, and they went out in the power of the Spirit, and so whole regions were soaked in the gospel. But something's happened with Advance, and I said to, and I've read some of this before, but it's getting better, I can promise you. I said to Ben, would you just send Anthony Delaney a little email just telling him what's going on with Advance? And so, because Anthony's obviously got all these connections around the world, how do we even control this thing? We're not meant to control it, but how do we encourage and fuel this thing? And I'm going to just read you some of the highlights. So in partnership with Lewis Palau, we've produced the US English version of the materials. And they've now been translated into Spanish. The French version is almost complete. The Dutch, German and Polish versions have been commissioned. Arabic looks likely, which will enable us to train evangelists in the Middle East and North Africa. Anybody get excited about that? And we may include some extra material written to engage Muslims with the gospel. Lewis Palau have now employed Mark Slaughter, slightly unfortunate name, but he's going to slaughter the works of the enemy. To oversee groups in North America, 40 evangelists are being trained by Andrew Palau to spread Advance all across the US. They've started to spread the work across South America, Colombia, Argentina, Chile and Mexico. Are close to having groups happening. Cuba already has two groups up and running. Tomorrow, Bill Hogg starts in Canada to lead the charge in Canada. We've had people not previously connected with the message asked to start groups in Malawi, Zambia, Kenya, Nigeria, and Rwanda. I've never been to any of those places. Anybody here been to any of those places? But we're growing fruit on other people's trees. We're starting to see an explosion of the gospel. We're starting to see the thing that happens when people get serious about this gospel and God's on the move. In Cape Town, we have 7 groups now with 73 people engaged monthly. I'll be there in August looking to develop this. This is Ben. In Uganda, we're exploring a key relationship. The key relationship is John Bunjo, who we know how amazing he is, who wants to take on Advance and spread it all through his networks. In August, I love this, I meet a very promising, I tell you, this guy looks amazing, very promising contact from Pakistan who wants to develop Advance across Pakistan. In India, we've employed these 2 young evangelists, told you about that. In the Philippines, we've begun the translation process and we're looking for the right people to come on board part-time for the development Advance. Across Europe, Germany is going well with around 40 people being mentored. Denmark's launching this year. Spain will happen soon on the back of Palau Fest. We're looking to take someone to develop Advance in Poland and have a number of networks and outlets there for development through once this person's in place. All told, we have strong relationships, opportunities for advanced developments in more than 40 nations, with many other likely to be added to that category within the next months. And then he goes on to talk about Amplifier, which is amazing, training young people and facilitating. And we're about to produce a 12-part video series this autumn with like epic evangelists from around the world investing in these groups and translated into multiple languages, so we can see global evangelism and testing for men and women sharing the gospel in a variety of contexts around the world. And then he puts this little thing at the bottom, which I love. He says, due to the viral nature of the movement, we're not always aware of when new groups are launching or of groups that have begun. So this is conservative. What I've just read is conservative. Come on, Ben. You're having a laugh. That's not conservative. That's crazy, isn't it? Anybody excited about that? Maybe God would allow us to fully proclaim the gospel in whole regions, in word and deed, and by the power of signs and wonders. Maybe we'll see millions of people touched. Maybe there's an acceleration, a wind of his Spirit, a wave that we just need to arrive, a wave of gospel power all over the world. And I want you to stand and I want you to pray for that. I want you to pray, God bless this movement called Advance. Help us to be good stewards, open doors. Help us to know how we shouldn't control it, but help us to know how to ride it and fuel it and bring the people along. We sat down with Mike Hack. You know Mike Hack, who's come to Manchester, I believe, for such a time as this. Mike has, you know, 40 years of just touring the world, and he wants to get significantly involved in Advance, particularly in the Middle East, but we need more people like that. So let's pray. Pray God's best blessing on it. Go for it.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.